go to the book of James. We're going to finish the book of James today. We're going to be looking at two verses, James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. And we want to talk today about saving a soul from death, or we could say restoring a straying believer. And Lord knows we got plenty of those. It's an often a passage that's misinterpreted, like the one last week was. But we got to remember in the context, we're still talking to believers here. And our greatest thing is sometimes we fail to go after them when they stray in doctrine and practice. And that's one thing I've done over the years. I have tried to get the straying ones back, but if they don't want to be back, there ain't much you can do. But and I heard people in the congregations that I pastor say, well, you know, they know where the church is. Or, you know, if they want to come back, they'll come back. And we fail to do what God tells us to do in His Word. James chapter 5, verse 19, brethren. Now, what do we learn all right away? He's talking to believers, right? Brethren, if any of you, what do we learn there? You is plural. He's talking to the church, right? If any of you do err from the truth. Now, that word err there means wander or stray or roam or be seduced from the truth. And one convert him. Now, this is not salvation conversion. This is turning an erring believer back into right walk with God and with the church. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, right, shall save a soul from death. That's where the interpretation hinges. What is the death here? Is it eternal death or is it physical death because of the correction of God? He that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, James does not specifically mention prayer in these two verses like he did in the previous verses last week. We're told to pray for the afflicted and pray for the sick. But I think it's implied here that we pray for them and we also pray for these ones that are going the wrong way. These verses deal with our ministry to a fellow believer who strays from the truth and goes into sin. The verb err means to wander or swerve and suggest a gradual moving away from the will of God. Have you ever seen anybody in the church that just all of a sudden just swerved the other way? Right? We have, haven't we? There are numerous in our ministries, right, Brother Glenn? I mean, they're with you for... And they love you, they say they love you, and they this and that. Next thing you know, somehow or another, they just swerve and err and speak bad about you. And people put things in their mind, and it's just hard to deal with it. That's one of the greatest hurts of the pastor, isn't it, Brother Glenn, to be stabbed in the back by someone who claims to be your friend. And that's about something you can't get over with. Now, the verb err means to wander or swerve. It's just a gradual moving away from the will of God. Now, the Old Testament word for this is backsliding. Backsliding. Now, sad to say, we see this tragedy occurring in churches more and more, and we're going to see it as we get closer to the return of our Lord. As apostasy gets worse and gets God begins to purify and perfect His church and purge His church, if they won't come to church through COVID, you think they're going to come when their life is in danger by somebody with a gun, right? Yeah. I mean, we see it all around us today. Now, sad to say that it's a tragedy happening in many of our churches, all churches. Sometimes a brother is overtaken in a fault, Galatians 6:1, just all of a sudden. But usually this sin or this erring here is a result of a slow, gradual spiritual decline. This is why I dreaded to shut down for 3 months. And I know we weren't closed for 3 months, but we were for a few weeks. And then we gradually gradually came back. And all along, I was praying for you that you would not err in absence of being with the body of Christ. I was praying for you fervently because I'm not a dummy. I know that we're going to lose some when this is over. I know that. Because they have erred from the truth. And even now, not all of them are back yet. And so I pray fervently for them that they won't be accustomed. I heard this other people have told me, you know, they got this idea that the church is virtual, that we can get just much out of it by watching it on TV or watching it on Facebook, you know. I'm telling you, the church is meant to be together, right?
Amen.
It's meant to be in person.
Right.
You are members of the body of Christ. Brother Glenn's going to speak on that tonight. Each part needs the other part to function and find their niche. And so if a person gets more comfortable watching church at home, they are beginning to swerve.
Right.
They're beginning to err from the truth. And I pray fervently for you. You don't know that. The days I come up here, every day I come up here, I walk around this church building, and I pray over each pew and each person that was sitting in the pew. That's why if you want to be prayed for, you need to sit in the same pew, right? So I walked around the church, and I prayed for everybody. I called you by name, you know, not only for the possibility of erring from the truth, but other things that are going on in your life. So this condition is very dangerous when one errs from the truth. It's dangerous to the offender because he may be disciplined by the Lord, and you don't want to be disciplined by the Lord. When you were growing up and you're disciplined by your father, that was nothing compared to what God can do to you in Hebrews chapter 12. If you're his child, he will discipline you, right? He disciplines his own. Secondly, they face the danger of committing the sin unto death. God prematurely taking a believer home early because of the harm he's doing to himself and to his church and the witness for Christ. We found that in 1 John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. What is a sin unto death? I don't think it's any particular sin. I think it's like a continued rebellion against the Lord. Now, we know with Moses, God killed Moses on Mount, buried him on Mount Nemo because he committed the sin unto death. Ananias and Sapphira committed the sin unto death, right? The believers in the church at Corinth were taking the Lord's Supper irreverently. They committed, because of that, many of them sleep. You know, by the way, God's chastisement does not include putting you to sleep physically. We're talking about their death, right? So it happens. The sin unto death. I've done funerals. Like, you know, I'm not going to tell the family I believe that the Lord took their loved one home prematurely. But, I just felt it strongly. I mean, you can't be a believer and live in rebellion and turn your back on God and be a believer and still be living.
Amen.
And I don't know how long that period takes, but God does. What we are to do when we see a believer, a fellow believer, wandering or swerving from the truth is to pray for them. Go to them. Show them the Word of God. Bring the Word of God to bear on their sin. And then if they will not hear you, you've done all you could do, right? Because I found out in the pastorate that people would justify their sin. They'll compromise the Word of God to justify their sin. And it happens that way. He needs to be converted. Not converted to salvation. He's talking to believers. Converted means to be turned back again to the right path. Reverted or turned back again. Because we know that believers don't need to be repentance unto salvation again. We already have that. But we need to be turned back again, right? To our right fellowship with God and not err in the truth, so that we can have the blessings and the walk and the fellowship with God. And remember what he said to Peter? Peter denied him. What did he say? I pray for you. This is the Lord of glory saying, Peter, I pray for you that your faith will not fail. Right there is the context. Peter, I pray for you that your faith will not fail, and when you're converted, strengthen the brethren, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what an amazing verse. If we are going to help an erring brother, we have to have the attitude of love, as Brother Glenn spoke about this morning. Love covers a multitude of sin there in verse 20. I believe that has also an interpretation of not only being forbearing with them in love, but I also believe it's talking about you're going to keep that sinning believer from committing more sins Why? If you turned around to the error of their way and they come back. Do you see my heart this morning, the heart of the Word of God? If they go off into error, we just don't let them go without trying to go after them, right?
Yeah.
And that's all you can do. If a wandering believer loses his life, at least he still goes to heaven. But the lost sinner condemned to hell that's never believed the gospel goes to eternal hell. Now look at that. I'm not going to keep you long this morning because I'm going to get to the point and that's it. Look at that word, if you will, in verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, of his way. He's not talking about rejecting the gospel. Of his way, right? Shall save a soul from death. Now what does that mean? A soul from death. The Greek word, which I can't pronounce, I'm like the Three Stooges, I can't pronounce it, but I'll spell it. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S. In its context, it's speaking of physical death. It's not speaking of eternal death, separation from God. Go back over to James chapter 1. Remember, context? Look in James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own lust, and enticed. Then when lust has deceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it finished bringeth forth death. I believe here he's talking about physical death. You see the two points on the screen. The origin of straying. They wandered and they erred from the truth. What is that? The Word of God. They have wandered from the Word. I know men, Brother Glenn, that pastored alongside me, and I knew them. They believed the same things I believe. Now they don't even believe the gospel, the Bible, and don't even believe in God anymore. It's just amazing. Unless the believer stays close to the Word of God, he's going to begin to drift. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should slip. Do you study the Bible? Do you understand what you're reading? Do you study the Bible not only to believe it, but also to defend why you believe it? Is there sin come into your life? That'll rob a person of their joy very quickly, and they'll begin to stray. It could be the influence of someone else. Someone else has your ear, and you're being deceived. And you begin to compromise the Word of God and justify your sin. People get blinded. Do you believe that? People get blinded, right? And they listen to the wrong voice. And they're influenced inordinately sometimes by the sway that somebody else has on them. And then also, I believe, they withdraw from the fellowship. That's the worst thing you can do. He calls them brethren. He's talking about a straying believer. He's talking about physical death here. We must attempt to go after them. See, you need the church. You are created not only in a relationship with Jesus, yes, but you're created in a relationship with his body, the church. And you can't sit there and say, I can know Jesus and I can follow him, but I don't need to go to church. That is error.
That's right. Amen.
You need the body of Christ. What if one day I was shaving. This is a bad illustration. Most of mine are bad. Say I was shaving and all of a sudden I bared down too much and my left arm went off. And it went off about 6 feet. What? I'm in bad shape because I need my left arm, right?
Yeah.
I need my right arm too. You see, that arm sitting over there 6 feet away never going to be what it needs to be until it's attached to the body, right? And my body's never going to be what it needs to be as long as my arm is laying over there, right?
Right.
And I know what you're thinking. Well, preacher, go get it and put it back on, you know? We need each other. The worst thing a person can do is begin to miss church, and that's why I prayed fervently, because some people have been accustomed to being out of church for 3 months, and they're in danger of the Lord's discipline if they're a believer. Also, they fail to abide in Jesus, John 15. Abide in the vine. abide in me, and I'll bear the fruit through you. You're not the fruit bearer, I am. You're just the branch. You know, the fruit that I supply in your life will come out, and that's what people will see. People fail to abide in Jesus by staying close to him. Now, the word abide there means in union. When we got saved, we're in union with Christ, okay? Inseparable relationship. But it's also ongoing communion with him, right? It's not like you walk an aisle and get saved one day and never open your Bible again, never come to church again, right? I've had people and other pastors have done that. They walked the aisle Sunday morning and then Homeland Security couldn't find them. And that was just one service. And this is here. This happened here. I had a lady that wanted her baby baptized in her womb because somehow or another, some magic formula, that everything would be okay, and we never saw them after that. I got news for you. Well, I better not go there. But that's the origin of straying. The outcome of straying is the discipline of the Lord. Do you know that the sinner here is right in this text, is a believer, not an unbeliever. The sin of the Christian is worse to the Father than the sin of an unbeliever. They are not his children. They are acting like unregenerates because they're unregenerates. But we have our Heavenly Father who changed us. And the sin of a Christian hurts the heart of the Father more than the sin of the unregenerate. Be converted. That's what this text is talking about. It is dangerous ground. You're open ground for straying if you begin to wander from the truth. Now, I'm talking about differences of interpretation. I'm not talking about that. You begin to withdraw from the fellowship. Go ahead and turn it off, brother.